Hello and welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. I'm Scott. I'm your host. I'm going solo today. Let's just get right into it. This past weekend, the Yankees took on the Red Sox for the second time, this time at Fenway, and it went horrendously. Got swept. Can't be doing that. Can't be getting swept by the Sox. It was really just unacceptable, and it really is a tribute to how lost our offense can be when we don't have Aaron Judge in the lineup. And I know we've been speaking about this constantly over and over again. I want to get into more of the details of our lacking offense in a minute. But to start off, I want to start off the same way we've been starting off most of our episodes, just with a injury update across our entire roster. Some good, mostly good, but ups and downs. So to start off with the one that I just mentioned, Mr. Aaron Judge, he had another, according to Brian Hoch, he had another PRP injection in his toe during the off day. There is a second ligament that has been bothering him, and there's still no timetable for him and his return. It hurts. That hurts our offense a lot when, you know, especially we've been lacking like we have been, and to hear no update on him is really worrying. But I think that hurts not only, you know, it hurts his MVP chances, of course. He was up there. But I think it hurts the team the most, and that's something that they're going to have to figure out. And I think it's something that we should be able to figure out without Judge. We shouldn't need Judge just to win, because we have the talent around the team. We have Rizzo. We have Stanton. Stanton's one of the first times, I think, in his career he had under 115 WRC+, something like that. And so people need to start stepping up for Judge, especially when he's out like this. Injuries happen. Look, it's happened to Judge a lot, but your entire team can't fall apart just because of one injury to a player. To go along with that, we also saw Willie Calhoun get taken out of last night's game early with, pretty sure it's some hip issues. Want to double check on that, though. Willie Calhoun felt a pop in his left quad during last night's game and is expected to be placed on the IL. Not great. Look, again, Willie Calhoun's not really somebody that we'd say we need, but Willie Calhoun has been doing very well for us. It shouldn't be a major loss, but we have already gone through a number of people through the IL and minor leagues and everything like that, that Willie Calhoun was kind of a little speck there that was able to stay healthy and stay pretty good for us. So it's going to hurt us a little bit, but it gives some space for some other people to come up and do some work. But to continue with our nice injury updates, it started off with Bader coming back. And with Bader coming back, Oswaldo was placed down to AAA, which, you know, is something that was going to happen, especially with how Oswaldo's been playing. Kind of was expected that at some point Oswaldo was going to be put down. That sounds weird, but he's going to get put down to AAA, and I think it's what he needs. He just needs a little bit of time just to figure his swing out. Again, defensively, he's had no issues with him, things like that. It's just a little bit of figuring out, and then he'll be back to being a big part for us. It was a tweet by Hoch about Harrison Bader's being not ready to return. More defensively than offensively, everyone involved agreed to give him two more minor league games, and now the next update is returning, or he did return, I should say, but it was a few days late. It was expected to see him in Boston. We didn't see him in Boston. We waited until Seattle. But you know, whatever is needed to keep him healthy, because that's his biggest thing is, you know, his defense is kind of what we've paid for him. We've gotten good offense from him, but similar to last year, just needs to stay healthy, and similar to a lot of these players, just a little too injury prone for us to, you know, we should be able to be concerned about. And so it's just something across the entire team that we need to be a little more keen on. Finally, the last injury update we have is Rodon. He had a rehab assignment in Somerset just the other day. It was Tuesday when he did his outing. It didn't go bad at all. I'm going to get the stats up exactly right now. Rodon that day, it ended up being a 4-1 loss, but even that, I think that looks pretty good. Rodon went 3 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 earned, 1 walk, 5 Ks, which is a very good outing for him. And I think it shows a lot of upside of him coming back and him, you know, get back in the rotation and getting some action going there. It was really cool. It was really funny to see pictures of Rodon with his mustache pitching to Austin Wells with his mustache. That was a fun little combo. It's just a funny look. But yeah, great news coming from Rodon. Tough loss to take, but giving up one earned through three and striking out five. You can't ask for too much more for somebody who hasn't pitched in, like, whatever, 5-6 months. So, great sights from him. That's all that I have injury-wise for the Yankees. I do want to continue on with other Yankee issues to start, you know, just to start with our poor offense. You know, go back to what I said earlier and began this episode with, talking about Judge and how desperately we need him. We ended up going and on Sunday went 0-10 with runners in scoring position. And, you know, it's just, it's upsetting. It's something that we should be able to change, but apparently we didn't. Then on Saturday or Sunday, I forget which one this was, I'm going to be honest. It was during the Red Sox series. It was that the Yankees batting average was 195 and their OPS was 599 since June 4th. And those are both the worst in the MLB. Worse than the A's, which we said last week were on a hot streak. Worse than the Royals, who are not on a hot streak. Worse than any other offense in the MLB, and we're the New York Yankees. And we have Stan, Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu. You could even say Josh Donaldson. You could. I don't want to, but you could. You have people on that team that should be able to hit, and we have a 195 average. It is really, really upsetting. It needs to be something that needs to be changed. We spoke about this last week, and this is the final Yankee thing that I have. And that's, well, I have two things. One is, we spoke about Anthony Volpe last week changing his swing. Along with that, good, he's changed his swing, and he's done a little bit better with it. But he's also still 15-for-15 on the bases. His biggest issue is that he doesn't get on the bases much. And he still needs to. He started the year off extremely disciplined. It's fallen off a little. I don't know if he's gotten trigger happy, what it is. But he is on base percentage has fallen off a significant amount around, you know, his slump. And there's always a thing of, oh, maybe you're just, you know, you're not hitting, you're not getting the right contact. But he's slumping both average-wise and on-base wise. But if he gets on 15-for-15 stealing, he has the upside on the bases. He just needs to figure out a little bit on in the batter's box. And the final thing that I want to speak about in regards to the Yankees specifically is our bullpen and how electric our bullpen has been. It has been something that we cannot complain about. And I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we can really complain about our bullpen at all. I think that all the players are in it are exactly what we need. And they've all done a great job. And even Ian Hamilton also took a rehab assignment in Somerset, so he's coming back soon as well. That's our shine. That's our shine right now is our bullpen, which is really upsetting when you think about, you know, how much of the other game is involved when Gerrit Cole isn't pitching specifically, if he isn't pitching to the Red Sox, but that's besides the point. It's something that we've just got to figure out. We have the talent. We have the players to do it. They just aren't snapping together right now. But that's as much as I really want to say on the Yankees. They have it in them. They have the skill. They have the talent. It's just not working for them right now. To moving on to Yankee adjacent things, the first thing I want to mention is an injury to our favorite non-Yankee, and that's the most literal way. Gio Urshela was placed in the 10-day IL with a left pelvis fracture. Just upsetting to see. He was having a good year and still was being Gio Urshela defensively. This actually comes along with another injury that the Angels had to deal with, and I wanted to mention it last week, but I didn't get around to it, and that's on Zach Neto, their rookie shortstop from Campbell. This year he's been doing really, really well. 259 batting average, a 6 home runs, 22 RBIs, 24 runs, 5 stolen bases, and defensively he has been very, very good. You can ask people, and I think you'll get a different answer from everybody of, oh, he's been good, oh, he's been bad. I think he's been good. I think he's simply been very, very good in regards. He has 3 errors on the year so far through 452 innings, which is currently a fielding percentage of 98%. The kid hasn't had a lot of rookie pains right now. Is he the best rookie? No, not even close, but he's a guy who is going to do a lot for them. I mean, that's what you want in a rookie shortstop. He's doing what he needs to. As I said, 259 average, but a 338 on base and a 769 OPS. He's been hit by 11 pitches already. But he is on the 10-day right now for them. Really, the Angels as a whole have just been slowly falling apart again, with the exception of Ohtani, of course. I think that is about it that I have to say Yankee adjacent-wise. I want to take one more look to see what I have. Most of this stuff was from Lexi. Since she can't join me, she sent what she had. Let's see. Not. Yep. All right. That was all of the non-Yankee things, or Yankee adjacent things, I should say, that I had. I want to move on to one that's slightly Yankee adjacent in the regards of revisiting Gary Sanchez. He started slumping again, but that's besides the point. It's something I want to connect to. Last night, Gary Sanchez was called out for a catcher's interference. Not the normal catcher's interference, but like the fielding kind, where, oh, they're blocking the plate. Which is a weird thing, because if you find the video, he really wasn't blocking the plate all that much. And in the same sense, you have somebody else, oh wow, I'm blanking on who it was, the other night, also get called 4-1. Let's see, I'm going to remember who it was because it's important. Oh, Jonah Heim. Jonah Heim for the Rangers got called for blocking the plate. And that's the same point. Neither of them were blocking the plate. It was a weird thing that doesn't get called a lot. Both of them got called for it within two days. and both of them are things that, you know, maybe a little check on. Because Jonah Heim was... Both of them, really, were going for the ball or had to be where they were to receive the ball, and then they moved. And then they got the guy out. But apparently, you know, their thing is they were blocking the plate, which I still do not believe. And it's just a little occurrences that I wanted to mention of that. To stick with, you know, little violations, we can connect that to... Oh, never mind. I would say connect it to... Craig Kimbrell, but I said that last week, and I forgot I mentioned that last week. Trying to connect things here. I don't really have much to connect either of those, but I'm just gonna go through my list. I'm gonna start actually with Lexi's non-Yankee things that she sent me. Really, the biggest thing was the attendance that all of the MLB has gotten. I want to start with that because that's important. We spoke about it last week with the A's and that whole situation. But yeah, attendance was crazy. So Sunday had the best attendance across league-wide since 2008 with more than 600,000 fans. The best average attendance for a Sunday since 2014, and the first back-to-back weekends of more than 1.5 million fans since 2017. That is crazy good to look at. Love to see baseball coming back. That's all we want. That's all that we root for here. It's just for baseball to get a little bit crawled back into the popular eyes. And I think that's almost surprising because of the rule changes. Everybody I've spoken to, and I kind of agree with it, says that the rule changes are, you know, they're bad for the people who want to go to the game. You know, you go to a baseball game planning on that being your day instead of going and planning on that being, you know, your 2.5 hours, and then you have the rest of the day. And it really is. It really is catered so much more to the TV fan of those just staying attention and, you know, staying involved rather than those who are at the game. So it really is impressive to see that these numbers are all going up. And I think it is mostly because of how these teams are doing. I mentioned the Royals still being bad. The Royals are still bad. But the A's went on a 10-game win streak, and they had their reverse boycott. We had the Diamondbacks now leading in the West. That is going to bring more fans in. I'm going to say it right now. You had a 11-game win streak from the Reds. You had a 10-game win streak from the Giants. You're having these teams pick up and start doing better to the point where you are grabbing more fans. The Pirates still doing pretty dang well. They're going to bring more fans in. The Yankees, even when they're not doing well, they're going to bring fans in. The Red Sox are last in their division, but still better than every AL Central team that there is bringing in fans. All these teams are, I think, these smaller market teams that would normally not have as many fans because they're not as good, now have, you know, picked it up in the last 2 weeks and have gained the attention of their fans wanting to go to the game. Of course, the Orioles, they're getting more fans. Orioles have always had a good fan base, though. Just all of these teams, as I said, things like the Yankee games, it doesn't matter how they're doing, they will get attention and people will go there. Dodgers, Padres, most of them, you know, it doesn't matter how they're doing. but they're going to have fans there. The Rangers is another good one of they're now a good team. They're going to grab attention of people more. People are going to want to go to those games. Still, thing that I love to see, people watching baseball. The final thing that Lexi had was of another Dodgers starting pitching rookie, Emmett Sheehan. I'm 100% saying that wrong. He had his debut after 6 no-hit innings, and then that no-hit bid was ended in the 7th. But 6 innings and no hits. I think it was only like 2 Ks, though. Again, another thing of rookies this year have been very, very good. Gotta watch out for all of them. Bobby Miller was doing really, really good, and then he imploded his last outing. Absolutely got destroyed. I think it was against the Diamondbacks in his last outing. But I think you're seeing that with a lot of these pitchers. It's just like they're starting out really, really hot, and then most of them have at some point at least cooled down a tiny bit. I want to get this exactly right of how much his last one got. Oh. Yes, right there. He had, against the Giants, 5 2/3, 7 hits, 7 earned, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Yeah. You know, you're seeing a lot from rookies come out really hot this year. We already mentioned last week of MVP votes, not MVP votes, but MVP production, predictions, wow, that Corbin Carroll is up there in the top 5. You have a ton of rookies out this year who are doing really, really well. You just got to be aware of all of them. Talking about, you know, these hot teams, the Arizona Diamondbacks, go along with, you know, everything that they've been doing, and, you know, go along with Corbin Carroll, they're the only team to not get shut out in 2023 so far. That is impressive. That is something that goes under the radar, and I don't think anybody sees. But to be the only team to not be shut out all year is very, very impressive for that team. I'm probably going to start hopping around. I want to stick again. I just spoke about rookies. Let's continue on it. He's not a rookie. He's kind of dabbled up and down. But Bo Naylor got his first hit for the Guardians. Bo Naylor is Josh Naylor's brother. Bo is a catcher. I think he played for Team Canada? I think Bo Naylor played in the World Baseball Classic. but yeah, it's just a little cool thing, and especially Bo Naylor doing it in front of Josh Naylor, both being on the same team. Just a little cool event. And Bo's somebody who has a ton of upside, especially being a young catcher. You know, there's not a ton of them in the league. Well, now there's starting to be a few more, but not as many as you think. And we've spoken about, you know, the value that catchers hold now, with there not being as many overly skilled ones out there. From the Guardians to the Reds, I already mentioned that they have their 11-game win streak. This goes along with Joey Votto coming back from the IL, and in his first game went yard. You know, just a cool thing to be able to piggyback along with what the rest of his team is doing while he was gone. Ellie De La Cruz still doing really well. You have, you know, just that whole squad is really running together really well. Everybody but Will Myers, because he got DFA'd. That's just something I need to throw in. It wasn't even really overly important of a thing to mention, I feel. But Reds team's hot. Their City Connect jerseys, very nice. but yeah, so we have that. We have, you know, the Giants being on a 10-game win streak. That's a team that, you know, we've spoken about, didn't really pick anybody up during free agent. They got 2 pieces, but neither of them have been very good. Jock Peterson hasn't been healthy. That's their biggest thing, but 10 wins in a row. And along with that, they also just got announced that in 2024, June 20th of 2024, the Cardinals and the Giants will play a game at Rickwood Field, which is the oldest professional ballpark in the U.S., and it was a former home of the Birmingham Black Barons. Another cool game. Look, London Series is coming up within the next week. You know, it's going to be fun. I enjoy these, you know, changes. I would probably want to look into the stadium a little more to see if it's, like, you know, stupid. Not to say anything against the stadium, but, like, if the stadium hasn't been used, you know, in a while, it may have very different dimensions to what baseball's like now. But I bet they're probably going to renovate it a little bit, make it look a little better. In regards to, you know, special games, as I said, the London series is coming up. They moved the fences back in the London series, make it a little more, difficult to hit home runs, so we're not going to see the absolute shit show that was the Red Sox-Yankees a few years back. But, yeah, that's going to be, you know, just a cool game to watch if I'm up for it. I probably will be doing nothing because it's going to be early enough in the morning that I'll probably end up watching that game. Again, I'm running out of things to connect to here. I could stick in San Fran in California. I want to stick with the NL in the California. You have the Dodgers, and for the Dodgers, Chris Taylor hit his 100th career home run in a very impressive fashion. It was a grand slam. Just a cool thing to keep note of. I thought it was really cool. I don't remember if I mentioned that last week. I felt like I didn't. But if I did, I'm sorry. To go from the NL West in California to the AL West in California, Mr. Shohei Ohtani hit his 150th home run. Sorry, Chris Taylor, you got one dub. Or 50 dub, if you really want to be specific. but yeah, just Shohei being Shohei. Keep rotating around, going to the Central, the AL Central. Lance Lynn went and struck out 16 against the Mariners and proceeded to lose that game. Yes, he lost a game. He got 16 strikeouts in. That's a tied franchise record for most strikeouts in a game, which is still really impressive, and especially impressive for Lance Lynn, who hasn't done anything since 2020. But yeah, still lost somehow. I think lost 2-1 against the Mariners. One of the final things, the last thing I have professional baseball related, then I want to go and I just want to mention this thing that happened, non-Major League related, but the last Major League thing is Ronald Acuna hitting 30 steals. This actually comes on the coattail of last week, me mentioning 30 steals for Estuary Ruiz. It's actually 2 weeks, sorry. Ruiz did it on the 9th, and then Acuna did it on the 16th. So, a little delayed there. But that's still, I think, Acuna is tough to beat right now. And you have, you know, Luis Arraez, who's been bouncing up and down of a 400 average. I think right now he's just below it. 2 days ago he was at 400. Arraez has been doing a thing. Right now he's at 398. The issue with 398 is that he only has 35 RBIs, 2 home runs, 31 runs, 1 stolen base. So it's a fine line of that, and then you have, you know, Acuna. And Acuna right now is, I'm going to get exactly what he's doing, 327. So, you know, whatever, that is 71 points less than Arraez, but he has 63 runs. He has 46 RBIs, so he has 15 more RBIs, about 20 more runs, 15 home runs, 31 stolen bases. Acuna has just been doing more. And, you know, we might see a once-in-a-lifetime event of Arraez hitting 400, But at the same time, what Acuña is doing all around is insane. Sticking above 300, hitting home runs, getting stolen bases. I mean, he is a strong possibility at like a 30-60, I think, year right now is what it's looking like. And I think that's just tough to beat. You know, it's going to be something that you tip your cap to Arraez for doing what he's doing, but you can't just give him the MVP because he's hitting 400. The thing that I have that's not MLB related is the College World Series. I've spoken about it a few times before of college baseball. I love college baseball, and the College World Series is coming to a close soon. It's being recorded on Thursday as usual, so the last day before the finals is today. You have Wake Forest versus LSU. That is possibly one of the best games you'll ever see. Paul Skeens, who is a top MLB or top college pitcher and most likely will be a top MLB pitcher at some point, is going against Rhett Lauder, who is a rising star as well. This will all be done when this episode comes out. I don't care. I'm hyped for it. I'm excited for it. It's going to look so good because these are two great pitchers against two great teams. LSU has Tommy White, and they have about, what, three or four top draft picks. Wake Forest has a ton of people as well. And the last thing that I just want to mention, why I really wanted to mention it, was what Stanford did. Stanford baseball was at the College World Series during their graduation. And so they just did a little graduation ceremony for their seniors at the College World Series, walked down a little staircase, you know, congratulated all of them with their teammates, went and got a little degree from like one of their like athletic trainers. And it was just a really cool event. And I really like seeing stuff like that. It's always just really fun. Kind of seeing that family part of baseball and, you know, that celebration of these boys are boys with each other. But that's all that I have for this week. Should follow us on our socials, pinstripe.podcast on Instagram. Interact with this podcast however you may. And for Scott and Lexi, who isn't here, we will see you guys next week. Bye.